Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love absolutely dissolve into, devolve into the rabbit hole of BS, which is bait and switch, or something else you might have considered. Bait and switch means I come at you with an appealing sales pitch, but then I switch it at the right time when I really want you to agree with everything I say. This has been far too often the religious habit of church folks, especially in evangelical circles, but it happens in a variety of other religious circles, and it's just simply wrong. It is wrong on so many levels to lie, really, about our motives and then switch to what our real motives are. Let's live by love. Love alone is credible. Love alone is truth. Love lives truth large and without any fear of being rejected. Well, you know, the fear may come in terms of a sense of pain, but the fear of rejection in love is sustained in the notion that love really knows that tomorrow will always bring a better day. That's how love lives. Love never fails, is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. And to that end, I have sought to live a life of love and to introduce and invite you to come join me in a life lived for love alone. Here on the Alive to Love, No BS Bishop radio broadcast, we do a few things to sustain the momentum of what I'm doing here and the invitation to be a person of the pilgrimage of love. And one of those things is Love's Creed, something I wrote a long time ago as a New Year's resolution for myself, and then it became a creed that I've edited over the years, and it comes down to this. So I'm going to read it in total in a moment. Then I'll invite you to come back and repeat after me like you would at a wedding altar in a matter of a few days. Speaking of wedding altars, my wife and I will have been married 50 years on August 9th. 50 years! And Ginger should get a gold medal for endurance. So that's our love story, and it's a love story that is rich and strong, and it's not been without its bumps and bruises, but we lived Love's Creed before I wrote Love's Creed. All right, so here's Love's Creed, just like at a wedding altar. I'll give it to you in total, then we'll come back, and then you can repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There it is in total. Now, let your mind wrap around the words slowly and savor them. Take it in. Make sure you give yourself a chance to say this out loud. I'm convinced that what we hear ourselves say, especially in a creed, we meditate more deeply into those words if we say them, especially for our own hearing. All right? So, repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you'd like a copy of that, Love's Creed, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. I'd be happy to send a copy to you so you can make your own little repetitious pattern of life to say it out loud for yourself in the morning, or maybe it's just something you put on your phone to remind yourself, look it up, or put on a 5x7 card. However you would choose to do it, I'd be happy to send you a copy of Love's Creed. Another thing I've introduced here lately on the No BS Bishop is to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Now, for me, the Lord's Prayer has become this standard strengthening foundation for me. It has kept me shooting my my faith forward, not backward, keeping my hope alive and keeping love moving toward something that is anchored in the words and the principles of Jesus Christ. So when the disciples of Jesus said, "Teach us how to pray," he gave them these words and warned, "Don't repeat it needlessly and aimlessly, but say your prayers after these words." Now, that becomes a rich treasure if you do it as a rich treasure, to treat it well. So if you know the Lord's Prayer, join me. If you don't, just let me pray it on your behalf. I'll carry you along. And I would invite you to try something a little freaky for prayer, and that is pray with your eyes open. I think it invites the kind of a look around and behold what you're grateful for while you're praying, any prayer for that matter, but especially the Lord's Prayer. All right, join me, if you will, in the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Such pillars of truth in that prayer, as you meditate it and contemplate and embrace the revelation that's held therein. Well, speaking of some revelation, I want to offer to you something that's really become a standard portion of my curriculum that I teach or I train, wherever it is I may be, with Spiritual Program Retreat as a spiritual director for that nonprofit, or here. I have been sharing a lot on the principles of hope. And I've called my message there, Hope Up. Well, I did something interesting for my own mind about the message on hope, and I inserted the word love where I've taught on hope. And lo and behold, I discovered that love and hope are genuinely connected to one another. They hold so much of the same power, the same diamond-like strength and beauty, that suddenly I realized I have a message on hope that is also a message on love. So if you'll bear with me as I share some thoughts with you about hope, that as they relate to hope, it also relates to love. So I'm inserting the word love here, and just listen carefully as you listen to me, and you'll see how it is interchangeable with the word of hope. I've taught that we live in a society, we live in a culture right now that is cultivating division and cynicism. And there's really some sinister ideas about that. Cynicism is the narrow view of the world that you can't trust anybody. You can't believe anything you hear, unless, of course, you're just listening to the speaker. Now you can believe me, but you can't believe anybody else. See, that's the failure of cynicism. But in a world that cultivates that kind of sinister cynicism, love is a revolutionary act. Love is the rebellion against cynicism. Love says, no, According to 1 Corinthians 13, love believes all things. That's crazy, isn't it? Right? It just, it doesn't even seem to make sense. And yet, there it is on the pages of the Bible. The great apostle Paul said of love that it believes all things, hopes all things. So see, even in love, there is a strength of hope that crushes cynicism. Love is an act of defiance. It embraces even the unknown. It embraces the obscure that's coming up. As I said earlier, my wife and I are coming up on our 50th wedding anniversary. And to that end, I discovered old tapes, cassette tapes of our wedding ceremony. And just a few moments ago, I'm transferring those tapes into a digital format. And so it's given me a chance to listen to those words. And as I listen to those words, I realize that when Ginger and I stood at that wedding altar 50 years ago and committed a life of love, I was a 21-year-old puppy. She was a 19-year-old blushing bride. And we committed to a lifetime of love. Now, you know, if you're at all an adult listening to me, you know we didn't have a clue what we were committing to for a lifetime. Now we look back and realize our words of love at that moment became, sure, they became a covenant and a promise and an embrace to each other. But lo and behold, if love was so just, I don't want to say blind, but love sure didn't have a long-term vision of what was coming down the road. But see, listen, love is an act of defiance to embrace the unknown. We embrace the unknown, perhaps childish, perhaps immature, perhaps short-sighted at the time, but I thank God that we did. I thank God today that we embrace the unknown because of love. The yet to be revealed. We decided we're going to resist all notions of cynicism. That in a world that cultivates cynicism, we chose our love to be a defiant act against it and to move forward in life. Now I realize, and we've come to know in our marriage, and I know that you know this about love. Love is emotional. It has the depths of emotion in it, perhaps the most depth of emotion than any other commitment we make in life. So because of that, then love is subject to easy assaults. Any emotional quality in our life is going to be subject to subject to assaults. It's vulnerable. So what we need to remember is that while love is emotional, it isn't in its most basic composition emotional. It will create emotions, and it sustains itself in emotional conversation, emotional and passionate commitments. But at the root of love, what creates the emotion is the rock solid, unfailing beauty of God Himself. God is love. Love is God. That's full stop right there. God is love. God isn't just loving. God doesn't decide to love. God is in full composition. The molecular structure, if there is such a thing, of God is love. The DNA makeup of God is love. And that love creates emotions. Yes, God can become angry. Yes, God can become disappointed. God's emotions run the full gamut, but His emotions are rooted in the solid rock of love, the granite structure of love. And out of that structure of love, emotions flow freely from God, and God invites us to the same structure of life. Always letting our love be the composition of every other emotion in our life. But remember that our love and its emotions are subject to assault. We know that we need to know anything emotional is a great backseat driver passenger in a car, but emotions are terrible drivers. We never want our life to be driven by emotions, but at the same time, we never want our life to be emotion-free. Emotions are the music and the poetry of our life. Emotions are the highs and the lows of our feelings. Those kinds of feelings, emotions that are volcanically erupted from love, well, that really does keep the color and the texture and the beauty of life moving in the right direction. I found a quote on hope, and I'm going to read it to you. I don't know the author of the quote, but remember, I'm substituting the word love in for hope from a message I've preached on hope, but I'm teaching now on love is the same thing. Now, here's the quote, and then I'm going to go back and put love in there. People speak of hope as if it is this delicate, ephemeral thing made of whispers and spider webs. It is not. Hope has dirt on her face, blood on her knuckles, the grit of cobblestones in her hair, and just spat out a tooth as Hope said, "I want to rise up for another go." That is beautiful. I have to swallow hard even after saying it because it gives rise to emotion in me. Now, let's put the word love in there and see how it works. Here we go. People speak of love as if it is this delicate, ephemeral thing made of whispers and spider webs. It is not. Love has dirt on her face, blood on her knuckles, the grit of cobblestones in her hair, and just spat out a tooth as love said, "I'm ready for another go." Oh my. You see, this broadcast has been for over 4 years now, telling you, broadcasting you, teaching to you that love is not some simplistic, willy-nilly, fly-by-night thing. It's not this delicate, ephemeral thing made of whispers and spider webs. That love is deep, love is high, love is wide. The book of Ephesians says the height, the depth, the breadth, the width, to be grounded and rooted in love is what we're being called to do. So to be grounded and rooted in anything means it's tough, it's strong. I don't use the word tough love or the phrase tough love because I believe that love that is love is tough all by itself. It's able to fight forward through all of the struggles of life. And that's why I say in a world that cultivates sinister cynicism, love is a revolutionary act. The Beatles sang it, "Love is all we need," and I am convinced that whether they knew the depth of it then or not, their song is right. Love is all we need. And sure, it translates into other practicalities. And sure, it can come and go and tidal wave kind of emotions. But we need to know that love sustains the human condition. We have love can be a noun, like an expectation. Love can also be a verb. It is a want or a desire. But love is applied in three different ways. There is love in us for ourselves, that we love one another as we love ourselves. To love another is to reach into the wellspring of your own self-love. To know that I can love others is to say that their needs are as important as my needs. My needs are as important as their needs, and that it's a ball of energy. It's not one over the other. It's all together, commensurate and composited together in its DNA. Love for ourselves. There is love through us for others, and there is love by us as a force against hate, as a force against rejection. Love in us, love through us, love by us. There is so great a need in our society to comprehend that when we carry the anatomy of love living large in us. We're carrying something that requires of us routine and regular contemplative meditation, routine and regular constant review of how is my love life progressing? Am I progressing in how I love and where I love and to whom my love is aimed? So keeping our love on is never easy. Now, remember, some of these thoughts come from a message I have on hope, but keeping love high and strong and active, it's never going to be easy. And being rejected is one of the great frailties of love, because love puts itself out there. Being turned aside, if your love comes toward someone and they reject that love, it hurts. And you know why it hurts? It hurts because we loved large. We loved beyond the ordinary. We loved beyond the simplistic. We loved beyond what I often refer to here as puppy love. We loved beyond the childlike simplicity of, I love my dog, I love my cat, I love my doll, I love my little toy truck. Yes, a child does that, but when I was a child, I thought as a child, but now as an adult, I know now as an adult that there's so much more to love than just my childhood expectations. You know, when we have loved, we are given to the possibility of disappointment. True love is true love when it is measured in its disappointments, not by just its appointments. Oh, yes, our appointments matter, but our disappointments also measure our love. You cannot love greatly and never be greatly disappointed. To love greatly is to expect that love will endure, but it is also to expect that in its endurance, love will be tried. Love will be tested. Love will be pressed to the wall. And so to that end, I challenge you to join me in the pilgrimage, the mountain climb, the marathon of love. To never let go, never give up, never throw it aside as too much, too hard, it takes too long. To never let yourself be bewildered that love is not always paying huge dividends every day. But to understand that love, when it's been disappointed, it, I believe, carves a deeper hole to be filled with even more love. To be disappointed in love is not extraordinary, but to be reappointed in love, now that's extraordinary. I've met people through the years who will say, it hurts too much. I'll never love again. It was too disappointing. I can't go there again. And I've had to say over and over and over again, you must love again. And in fact, I guarantee you, you will love again. Because love is not something that will just lay there forever and die. Love never fails. Love never dies. Oh, it may go into hibernation. But we are, in our essence, as God, we are made in, by, and for love. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for anything less than love. So let me bring this broadcast in for a bit of a landing here. Remember, all the words I spoke of love here are also interchangeable with hope, and however you take it, it carves a much larger space for our living and our life. So on this broadcast, I close with a couple of activities that I challenge you to be faithful to yourself, to love yourself this way, and to love yourself enough to breathe well, breathe deeply, breathe with the sense that my breath keeps my mind sharp and my body healthy. All right? Breathe to the deepest part of your lungs that you can in just a moment. I'll count to three, and then I want you to inhale as much as you can. And I want to add something. My wife pointed out to me last week that once you get to the bottom of your lungs with a breath, grab one more gulp of breath. See if you can stretch it a little more. All right? On the count of three, deep breath. One, two. two, three, inhale, all the way to your diaphragm, hold it, grab a little more, and exhale. Whew, that made me a little lightheaded. I must have needed it. I think lightheadedness is a signal that you haven't been breathing as deeply as you could or should, and I've probably been punishing my body with shallow breaths. So go ahead and do that. 5 minutes every day. Slow your life down and breathe deeply. Another pattern of life that I invite you to here on the No BS Bishop is to say the three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language. And those words are, I love you. Hear me say it to you right now. I love you. Say it to your loved ones, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your significant other. Say it to your neighbors. They might be startled. They might wonder about you. Maybe it's time for them to wonder about you. It's time for you and for me to face this world of cynicism and sinister behaviors with the power, the indestructible superpower of love, and say to people, often as we know how, I love you. Yeah, you'll give them something to talk about, but let's go ahead and give them something to talk about. You know why? Because the biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we still have time. It's now time to be present in the moment. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And as Mother Teresa once said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Love, let your loving presence light new light in the hearts of others. And I'm borrowing her words to say to you, go into the world today and love the people you meet and let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Now rise and shine, beloved. Rise and shine. Go out there and do something beautiful. Oh, baby, because ugly, whew, ugly's getting done to death. It's time for the people of love to be the people who are doing the most beautiful act in the human condition, and that is the act of love. God bless you, and happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.